Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You're listening to The Voice of Pittsburgh. This is KDK Radio 1020. I'm Larry Richard.
And good morning. I'm Kevin Battle. Larry, they say we're starting our second surge, another surge in COVID-19. In California, the governor there, Gavin Newsom, and health officials saying that, well, Thanksgiving dinner is going to have to be reimagined. Maybe it should be an outdoor affair lasting less than 2 hours and only welcoming people from three different bubble households.
I'm not opposed to that. It's trouble is, though, outdoors here at Thanksgiving can be really dicey.
Yeah, but that's California.
Meanwhile, we wanted to get an update. Dr. David Rodinghouse, who is the chief medical officer and an emergency medicine specialist, we've talked to him frequently through this pandemic, and welcome him back this morning. Doc, happy Monday.
Hey, happy Monday, guys. Good to be with you.
So, Kevin brings up a good point. And last week, we talked to our British broadcast friend, Ray Clark, in England. They have really strengthened their shutdowns. And across Europe, we're seeing this and this surge. How concerned are you and how prepared are we here in Pittsburgh and Western Pennsylvania to deal with it?
Well, I'm very confident in our preparation in Western Pennsylvania. The coordination across the systems, especially in the 12 or 13 southwest counties of Pennsylvania, we've talked about this, boy, going all the way back to maybe April or May. I'm very confident in our other hospital and system partners. We're blessed to have two very large systems in AHN and UPMC. The data sharing's been excellent. The coordination has been excellent, and of course that trickles all the way down to pre-hospital providers. But I do have great concerns. When you see cases rising, especially in less dense areas in terms of population, places like Alabama, Montana, the Dakotas, then that is very active and rampant community spread. So initially we saw, San Francisco, Washington, New York, Boston, very populous areas where the cases really took off because of the population density. But now we're seeing, very rapidly rising numbers in less dense areas where, there's definite community spread going on.
Is that community spread because of colleges going back in session, or is it something else?
It's a good point. So there's even more desire for very zeroed in data on age groups, zip codes, locations where the number of cases are really going up. So you bring up an excellent point. And in fact, my team and I were on the Pennsylvania Department of Health on a phone call with them just a few days ago, really trying to evaluate this data. And the identification of age groups is very important. Center County in Pennsylvania had a recent, great growth in cases, but of course, Penn State University is there. So when you look at the demographic and the age groups, that really 17 to 24 age range accounted for almost all of the cases. So it's a great point. They're not, completely protected against this virus, and they can still have, bad outcomes or, bad symptoms. But as we know, they generally handle the virus better than older folks or folks with, a lot of medical problems. The issue becomes, what do they do once they become exposed or infected, especially if they don't know they have it? And so their opportunity to spread either through asymptomatic or minimally symptomatic, symptoms is the real danger. And that's why we have to keep a very close eye on, who's getting it, what their quarantine or their necessary quarantine is, and then where do they go afterwards.
We're with Dr. David Rodinghouse, Chief Medical Officer at the Butler Health System. One of the things that I think, even since we talked last, is we know the FDA has approved remdesivir as one treatment or protocol. And then we saw the President of the United States get COVID, was hospitalized for a few days, and he got some kind of cocktail, and he said that this could be, his words, a cure. And I'm curious where we stand with whatever he was given being a treatment that Americans in general could receive.
Yeah, so what he got was what's called a monoclonal antibody. So when we are exposed to, you know, infectious organisms and, you know, things like viruses, our immune system tries to target something to attack on that virus to either neutralize it or to kill it, you know, somehow for our immune system to clear it from our body. So this has been in development, you know, for months since the onset of COVID, is, you know, companies trying to come up with a targeted antibody that's synthetic and manufactured outside of the body, infuse it back into somebody, you know, give it to them in their system to directly fight the virus. So, you know, we've heard a lot about convalescent plasma, you know, people that have had COVID, and then you draw blood from them and you filter out the plasma, assuming that once they've recovered, they have blood that's filled with antibodies against COVID. And then we would infuse that plasma or give that plasma to somebody who has, you know, an infection with COVID-19 and is in the hospital. The difference between plasma, which has antibodies for all kinds of different things and all sorts of different proteins in it, and a monoclonal antibody, is that the monoclonal antibody is directly targeted to fight COVID-19 or a particular virus. So the technology, you know, really seems to make sense. The technology is outstanding, but we don't really have a large burden of proof that it works. And I know the president got better, but in order to build a case to use a drug or a therapeutic, you have to have, you know, significant amount of data that shows power in the study that it is useful and then can therefore be rolled out to a general population. So great technology, very interesting, fascinating to read about, but it's, you know, the proof is not out there yet that we should be doing this in a widespread manner.
The state says that 78% of all 192,000 cases in the Commonwealth have recovered. So we're right around, what, 42,000 cases, active cases right now, I'm guessing. We had 2,000 cases announced on Thursday and Friday each. So, I mean, we're seeing a surge, obviously, right now. You mentioned hospitalizations and things like that, and you mentioned the vaccine. Are we going to loosen the guidelines, you think, for a vaccine if that stuff that the president took is deemed worthy? Or do you think we'll rush through a vaccine and have one for mass consumption in the first quarter?
Well, so, you know, clear distinguish should be made between vaccine and the monoclonal antibody. The monoclonal antibody is a therapeutic to get somebody through an infection.
Gotcha.
Whereas the vaccine is considered, you know, something that should prevent people from getting it in the future. I think no matter what happens, we have to be careful in terms of any medication or any vaccine that we give to people and make sure that it has good safety and good proof that it works. So I don't think that the status of COVID in our country or in the world should determine pushing through without good safety parameters, any type of therapeutic or any type of vaccine, just because the risk of rolling out something that could cause mass harm is too concerning. That being said, it looks like we have very reassuring data so far on the development of vaccines, and just haven't seen enough from the monoclonal antibody that the president received to know if it's adequate for a wide rollout. In terms of restrictions, you know, I think our public health officials are charged with a tough task because we do know that simple things work. Now, if we keep people from seeing each other and we restrict activity and therefore restrict community spread, then we know our case levels are going to be low. But that's not practical, so it's certainly a balance. Mask wearing and, you know, doing the simple things right in public are easily the simplest ways that we can mitigate spread. And, you know, there's a lot of good data that shows that masks work. There's data on international flights that the Chinese and other countries have been collecting where, you know, you have 10, 12 people on a small plane. Two of them are positive. On a plane with people wearing masks, people typically don't get it. On a plane with people without wearing masks, you know, the other people typically get the virus. So there's enough data out there that we can very confidently say masks work? Are they inconvenient? Yes. Are they, are they effective? Absolutely, they are. So I think if we do simple things right, then we're going to be in very good position moving forward through the winter in what is going to prove to be a steady elevation of cases, certainly over the next several weeks, given the number of positives that have popped up. So, you know, the concern is the cases continue to rise, community spread continues to occur, and then we get a lot more deaths and a lot more hospitalizations. So I think we've got a lot of warning signs right now that we have to go back to basics, but I don't believe that anybody thinks we should shut down at this point in time. Just do the simple things right, the minor inconveniences, and we will be much better off in the long run.
And get your flu shot, right, Doc?
Absolutely get your flu shot this year. Yes, thank you.
Dr. David Rodinghouse, Chief Medical Officer of the Butler Health System. As always, appreciate your time and expertise, Doc. Stay safe.
Hey, you guys too. Thanks for your time this morning.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.